Here in Australia, we live in an affluent society. But the downside of that affluence is that, like our compatriots in other rich countries around the world, we throw out a lot of perfectly useful things every single day. We throw out edible food, we throw out perfectly fine clothes, even perfectly running mobile phones, TVs, heaters, fans, just because there's a new model or an update. Each year, Australians are responsible for producing about 64 million tonnes of rubbish, ends up as landfill, and that puts an enormous strain on our natural resources and environment. More than a decade ago, two economists, Clive Hamilton and Richard Dennis, wrote about this modern disease in a book called Affluenza. Now Richard Dennis has written a follow-up. It's called Curing Affluenza. He says it doesn't involve curbing economic growth or even abandoning materialism. Richard Dennis is the chief economist of the progressive think tank, the Australia Institute. Richard Dennis, welcome back to Breakfast.
Good morning.
Since you co-wrote Affluenza with Clive Hamilton back in 2005, I think it is true to say we've become more conscious about what we throw away. We're better at recycling. We make more efforts about recycling. Would you say affluenza has got better since you wrote that book?
No, I think it's got worse because we know now that we suffer from it. I think 10 years ago when we wrote Affluenza, it was kind of shocking to tell people how much money we were wasting on food we threw away and how much money we were wasting on clothes we never wore. People were really surprised. 10 years later, I think everyone just takes for granted now that that's what we do. And in curing affluenza, what I'm trying to say is we've actually been told in the last 10 years that it's okay to do this because it's actually good for the economy. I mean, as an economist, you probably can't get a weirder statement than the best way to help the economy is to waste stuff. Yet now you hear people say all the time, oh, sure, I'm updating my bathroom again. It's good for the economy. I'm creating jobs. And yes, a bit of retail therapy. It's good for the economy.
Yep, go out and spend. And
yeah,
that's what we are told to do. But that's, to some degree, that's right, isn't it? There's no point hanging on to our money. We should go out and spend things and keep the economy moving over.
Sounds like you're suffering from a case yourself, friend. Look, to be clear, people should spend their money on anything they want. I'm not here to tell people what to buy and what not to buy. But the idea that we, quote, strengthen the economy when we buy things that we throw away without using is bizarre. Has nothing to do with economics whatsoever. In fact, economics defines itself as being about efficiency. Yet we've now told ourselves the way you make an economy strong is to import huge amounts of stuff, use it once or twice, put it in a cupboard for a while and chuck it out.
I understand what you're saying, but you can see why the economic argument seems to be that the more we produce, the stronger our growth, and therefore it's better.
Yeah, but growth of
for jobs.
Well, okay, there it is, for jobs. Well, how is buying imported stuff made overseas and throwing it in a hole good for jobs?
It worked. Let me give you an example. It worked, didn't it, back in 2009 during the GFC when Kevin Rudd gave the $900 package. People went out and spent it and on goods and services, and that was seen as instrumental in meaning Australia didn't go back into recession.
Absolutely, and that goods and services is central to what I'm saying in the book. We need to stop talking about the size of the economy. We need to stop talking about GDP growth as an end in itself, and we need to ask ourselves about the shape of the economy. Which parts of the economy are growing? What things are we buying more of? Because if you go and spend $100 on a massage, or you go and spend $100 on some toys for your kid's party, which do you think will create more jobs in Australia? Buying labour-intensive services creates far more jobs than buying imported stuff that we throw away. Spending money on health and education and aged care creates far more jobs than importing an aircraft carrier. The shape of GDP, the things we actually buy, that's what matters. And if we started spending money repairing things, maintaining things, re-gifting things, investing in services, investing in infrastructure that will last for centuries, that will help the economy far more than buying some stuff and chucking it out.
So good growth and bad growth in a sense.
Absolutely.
But it goes to then why we're doing things. And you talk about it's for cultural reasons. We don't think that, but
no.
That is what we're doing. Well, that's your thesis anyway.
Absolutely. Look, my favourite example is lawn.
You love this example.
I do love this example.
I've heard this before.
Look, the largest irrigated crop in the US is lawn. It's not because lawn seed is cheap. It's because after World War II, Americans, and indeed Australians and a few people in England less so, adopted the idea that the way to demonstrate good neighbourliness, dominion over your environment, good citizenship, or just give Dad something to do to get out of the house, was to manicure a lawn. Now, that's okay, but if we were growing sunflower seeds or vegetables rather than lawn, our economy would look entirely different. Now, better or worse.
So how do we switch that? You gave the example of if we could make, in terms of cultural and, when you know, why we should have a big car because we think that's what you should do, and why don't we have the cheapest possible, most efficient car. You give the example of what if we tried to make solar panels very in, you know, very culturally the thing.
Absolutely.
How could we make those switches, Richard?
Well, we make them all the time. So, yeah, having a big car might impress your neighbours, or having a big solar panel on your roof might impress your neighbours. That's a cultural choice. And in the last 10 years, we've moved from having no smartphones to everyone having a smartphone. The idea that our culture can't change rapidly is bizarre. We change it rapidly all the time. But if we keep changing it in directions that encourage us to chuck stuff out, then we're going to put more and more pressure on our environment.
Okay, so whose job is that, though? Is it the politician's job? Is it the advertiser's job? As a society, how do we get to that point?
Look, it's everybody's job. Once upon a time, we mined asbestos and harpooned whales, and we don't do that anymore. People used to work in asbestos mines and on whaling ships. Our culture changed, and that changed the economy. 20 years ago, no one was putting solar panels on their roof. Today, a lot of people are, and that's creating an enormous number of jobs in solar. That doesn't make them right or good. It makes them different. So I think individuals have far more influence over the economy than they realise. We're told the economy tells us what to do, but if we stop buying stuff, people stop making it. But I do think politicians and others in leadership positions have got a big responsibility, especially to stop telling people that going out and borrowing money they don't have to buy stuff in the shops is good for the economy.
You're listening to RN Breakfast. Our guest is Richard Dennis from the Australia Institute, talking about his new book, which is called Curing Affluenza. It did strike me as ironic, really, that both you and Tony Abbott in the last couple of weeks have used the killing goat analogy. Tony Abbott's, of course, told that group of climate sceptics in London that primitive people once killed goats to appease the volcano gods. We're more sophisticated now, but we're still sacrificing our industries and our living standards to the climate gods to little more effect. And you also use the goat metaphor.
I do. I wonder why goats are in the atmosphere at the moment. Look, the point I make is that we're encouraged all the time to make sacrifices to, quote, make the economy strong. We're told it's good to waste stuff, buy things with our hard-earned money and throw it away to make the economy gods strong. We're told we should sacrifice our weekends to make the economy strong. We're told we should spend less money on aged care or health or education to make the markets happy. We are encouraged all the time to make sacrifices on behalf of the economy. So, I must admit I laughed when I heard Tony Abbott making a similar point. He thinks we're obsessed with protecting the environment, if only. But I agree with him. We as a society are encouraged to make sacrifices all the time. But we sacrifice millions of tons of stuff every year, allegedly to help the retail sector.
It's an argument well made and strongly made in Curing Affluenza. And there is one great example I think everyone would relate to, really, which is bottled water. Do you see a time where we could ban bottled water? Because that's a perfect example of what you're talking about, isn't
Absolutely.
It?
Absolutely. I mean, we now create these beautiful things called plastic bottles that in the last 7,000 years of recorded history, people would have they would have done anything to own something as strong and versatile and light as a plastic bottle. And now every time we buy one, we throw it away. I used to work in a service station. People complain about the price of petrol all the time. Bottled water costs 5 times as much as petrol, but we willingly buy bottled water at enormous premium, and then we throw this incredibly useful thing, a plastic bottle, away after one use.
But what's happened to our brains that we think we can't drink the water from the tap? Or is the point that sometimes a lot of people complain about, for instance, Sydney water suggests it's not safe to drink, or look, the taste of Adelaide water is legendary, of course. But
what happened to people's brains when they thought wearing cod pieces was cool? What happened to people's brains when they thought flares were cool? What happened to people's brains when we thought killing whales was a great idea? culture determines so many of our spending decisions. And when everyone else around us is buying bottled water, it gets easy.
Richard Dennis, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you.
Richard Dennis is the chief economist at the Australia Institute and the author of this book, Curing Affluenza: How to Buy Less Stuff and Save the World.